to be premiered in October, we want to play you the best of the best from our season 9. We have great interviews, great laughs, great times. So this is an hour full of the best here on The Joe Show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our second annual Salute to Game Shows Price is Right edition on The Joe Show. We have an exclusive two-part series as we sit down and talk with former producer of Price is Right, Roger Dobkowitz. Also, former announcer fill-in Randy West and former game show host legend Bob Barker. An exclusive two-part series here on The Joe Show, so don't go anywhere. Thanks for joining us here on our second annual Salute to Game Show's Price is Right edition on The Joe Show. Joe Crawford here with you, and thank you for joining us. The Price is Right is an American game show where contestants made successive bids on merchandise prizes with the goal of bidding closest to the actual retail price of the prize without going over. The show was a precursor to the current and best-known version of the show, which premiered in 1972 on CBS's daytime schedule. This makes The Price is Right one of only a few game shows that have aired in some form across all three of what were then the Big Three television networks. The series premiered on NBC's daytime schedule on November 26, 1956, and quickly spawned a primetime series that aired once a week. Bill Cullen hosted both versions of the show. His easygoing personality was cited as a key element of the show's success. The Price is Right became one of the few game shows to survive the rigging scandal of the late 1950s and gained even more popularity after other game shows exposed for being rigged had been canceled. In 1963, The Price is Right switched networks, and both the daytime and primetime series moved to ABC. On September 3rd, 1965, the show aired its final episode after nearly 9 years on the air. In the early 1970s, Mark Goodson was preparing a revised version of The Price is Right for syndication, and CBS Daytime dubbed The New Price is Right, which incorporated elements of the Cullen version with new minigames influenced by Let's Make a Deal. Dennis James, who was a regular substitute for Monty Hall on Deal, was selected to host both versions of the reincarnated show. However, he hosted only the syndicated version, as CBS insisted that Bob Barker, then still hosting Truth or Consequences, host the daytime show. Thus, on September 4th, 1972, Bob Barker hosted the first episode of The New Price is Right, which lasted with him hosting the game show for 35 years, with Drew Carey replacing Barker in 2007.
A fortune in fabulous prizes may go to these people today if they know when the price is right. Sandy Flournoy, stand up. Paul Levine, stand up. Connie Gunnell, stand up. Myra Carter, stand up. And all four of you, come on down. You're the first contestants on The New Price is Right.
Thank you so much. Welcome to The New Price is Right, and let me assure you, fans of The Old Price is Right, that this is your favorite game, still based on the pricing of merchandise, with wonderful awards for smart shoppers. We call it The New Price is Right because we have some exciting new games that you will enjoy right there at home with our studio audience, and we're going to get that first game going right now. Here's the first item up for bids on The New Price is Right.
It's a fur coat!
Roger Dobkiewicz, the television producer best known for his 24-year tenure as a producer of the CBS game show The Price is Right, is going to be with us after the break. We are going to talk with Roger about all the interesting stuff that happened behind the scenes of Price, the games, and even a time that Bob Barker once refused taping an episode. In addition to The Price is Right, Dobkiewicz also worked on other game shows such as Family Feud, Double Dare, Now You See It, and Match Game.
Here she comes. Pull that arm down now. Don't fall. Don't slip. Oh! Them all. She got them all right. And even in her high heels, look at her. Look at her slide. She's sliding into second here. She beat the throw. She won all four prizes. She's over there hugging Roger. I did all the work to get her up on stage. I gave her the prizes. She's hugging Roger. We'll be back with the Showcase Showdown after this.
Hi, this is Randy West, your television voice on The Joe Show, talking about everything that's fun. Thanks for tuning in.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Ohm Times Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Todd Newton, game show host and game show fan like you, and sitting right over there behind the microphone is my buddy Joe. You are listening to The Joe Show.
$1. You have $1. There she goes. Can you believe that? Did you see that? This Brenda is a crazy mixed up woman, you know. After race game, she ran and hugged Roger. Now I'm doing this here. Roger's not doing this. She got $1. She ran and hugged Roger again. Now,
welcome back to The Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio, our second annual salute to game shows. And, well, we had to ask 100 viewers, when you think of game shows, what is the top game show you think of? And 82% said The Price is Right, and that doesn't surprise me at all. The Price is Right has been around for decades with Bob Cullen and Bob Barker and now Drew Carey. And I am so happy to have with me the gentleman who has been with The Price is Right almost as long as Bob Barker, 36 years. He produced The Price is Right, Roger Dobkowitz. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Hello, Joe. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Very, very, very appreciated that you're here with us on the Joe Show and our salute to game shows. We always think of the host or the contestants, but we never really get to think about what actually really happens behind the scenes. And you probably have so many stories that what happens behind the scenes and the rush of it all and getting the right camera, the right lighting and the right cues and all that stuff, right?
Well, you know, we had a lot going on because we were, they don't do it now anymore when they do Price is Right, but when I was there with Bob and half a year with Drew, we did it live to tape, which meant that we did a 60-minute show in 60 minutes. We just stopped for the commercials, 2 minutes. Everything had to be in place. It was literally doing a live show, and it was truly a reality show. We didn't like redo things and change things, have people redo their reactions, have people run down again. Everything you saw was real, and it was quite a rush for those 60 minutes to tape that show.
Why do you think nowadays, and I mean, I know you were did a little bit of producing when Drew Carey was host as well, up to 2008, I believe, is when you were there. But why do you think now that they are reenacting the rundown or reenacting the emotion as opposed to when you guys did it back 30-some-odd years ago?
If somebody ran down when we did our version, and like the we would sometimes have a problem, the camera would break, you know, I mean, not break, but the camera would malfunction. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? We were quite upset that we had to ask the person to run down again because we knew it wasn't real. And it really, really bothered us. That happened only a handful of times. Now, they do it apparently a lot because I think they're trying to make a show with raw material that doesn't supply that energy anymore. I mean, you have a different kind of host, Drew Carey. You have different kind of prizes. And so, I mean, when we did our show, we got genuine excitement. People just absolutely loved Bob Barker. People loved our prizes, and so we didn't have to do any of that. And I think they sort of realized that they don't get the same kind of reaction they really would like to have, so they actually do it to make a perfect show.
Wow. Speaking with Roger Dobkowitz, former producer of The Price is Right, has been with The Price is Right for 36 years, and it's so true on how you say that when you did the live to tape and the realness of running down, because I'm recalling, I believe maybe it was in the 70s, that the show premiered September 4th, 1972, the daytime version with Bob Barker, and that there ended up being, talking about camera malfunction, I don't know if you remember this, there was a woman running down, I think she was African-American, and she had a wardrobe malfunction, and her chest popped out of her top.
Right, exactly. This is what I mean. We didn't stop tape. We kept going, you know. And we have had other incidences where people fainted. I mean, we had three people in the course of the 35 years with Bob, three people actually fainted on camera.
Oh, my God.
Now, nowadays, the producer in this panic mode was, oh, stop tape. I don't know what to do. Let's think about this. We just plowed right ahead. It was all real. We had a woman one time. We were calling down her name, and we called her name, and nobody stood up. And we kept the cameras rolling.
Oh, yes.
Nobody stood up. We called the name again and again. And then the husband jumps up out of his seat and says, my wife's down in the bathroom. I don't know where she is. So you know what we did? We just let the cameras roll, and we waited for her to come up those steps, and she came barreling up those steps and into the, because her husband went down to get her, And it was all great TV. We kept the cameras rolling. And that's why Price is Right, when you see a show with Price is Right and Bob Barker, when if you ever watch any of the old shows, that's a true reality show.
Patricia Bernard, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Just a moment. An emergency has occurred. Would you believe this moment had to occur, did it not? Patricia has gone to the little girl's room. A gentleman, whom I assume is her husband, has rushed out to get her. A page has gone after the gentleman. Everyone in America is wondering how long can they wait for Patricia. Here comes Patricia!
And it's so real that the real life moments are so genuine and funny that you're not laughing at the contestants at all, but just the realness of it all. And that could happen to anyone, and it did happen to anyone, really.
Right, exactly. I mean, everybody remembers Bob Barker's frustration with contestants who don't make decisions, who take their time, and Bob gets frustrated, and you see it in him. I mean, nowadays, you know, they cut all that out from the show, but we kept it. And Bob was getting, hurry up, ma'am. This is a 60-minute show. We've got to move on. What's your answer? What's your answer? Oh, I don't know. What's your answer? We need an answer. We kept all that in. That's what made that Bob Barker an exciting show.
Now, did you happen to know Bob back before the inception of The Price is Right on September 4th, 1972?
No.
No,
I did not. I was a very young, naive person from a nun show business family, moving from San Francisco to Los Angeles to work in television. Everything was new. I was completely naive. I look back and I just can't believe how naive I was.
Well, I gotta say, along with producing the show, first of all, let me talk about the prizes before I talk about even the games. But I know when it started out, the very few beginning episodes, I of course you guys didn't start out with extravagant prizes as they ended up being. I mean, they're still good prizes, a typewriter and electric typewriter, I should say, and a fridge and a stove or a sewing machine. Those are kind of big. I mean, today we're thinking, oh, that's really nothing, but back then that's something. But How was it, especially 5 shows a week, 5 days a week, to get these big prizes or get prizes to come along with you? Because at first I would think this is a show that, okay, it's just starting out. Who would actually give prizes to you guys? How did you guys make it out to be so big along the way and then get these, of course, the ratings showed, but to get these prizes to come bigger and better as the years came by?
Well, we first started out, all the prizes on our show were promoted, you're right. That's why the prizes were nice, but they weren't spectacular. Then as about a year or two years after our start, Mark Goodson, who owned the entire company of Price is Right and Max Game and all those shows, said to CBS, we need a bigger prize budget. He said, we need a bigger prize budget. We think if we get a bigger prize budget, our ratings will even be better. And at that time, then Price is Right got a big boost in their budget, a gigantic boost in their budget. And we started being able to afford to put Cadillacs on our show and other big prizes. And as the years progressed, our ratings increased, of course, and we were able to get bigger and bigger and better prizes. And we also, maybe you realize it because you're into game shows, but there's sort of a way to understand how to control your budget. And it took years and years and years to understand how to control the budget. So we could afford occasionally to put on a super, super duper prize because we were controlling our budget and we had money left over. And so we decided to put on a super duper prize. And we got better and better as the years progressed, especially during the last few years. We occasionally had gigantic prizes on our show, and that was all because we knew how to save money during other parts of the year to spend it at other times of the year.
Now, those prizes that didn't end up getting won, like I'm using, for example, I'm thinking Golden Road. And so Golden Road progressively, there's three chances and it's a little bit hard because you got to get the one digit right that's missing. And there were some winners from Golden Road, but that last prize in Golden Road was, I remember there's a prize, I think was sometimes over $80,000-$90,000, but it was hard to get. Now, if that prize wasn't won, would that been given back and therefore you would get that money back to use in your budget at another time? Or how did that work?
It worked this way. With the big prizes like Cadillacs and motorhomes and giant boats, we wouldn't buy. We would just call a boat place up or a motorhome place up and say, we would like to put one of your motorhomes on our show. And, of course, if it's one, we'll buy that one, of course. And the dealer, of course, likes the idea. Oh, buy a motorhome for me. Yeah, that's great. But we would say, but if it isn't one, we would just like to, like, you know, pay you $500 for renting it for a day.
Okay.
To put on a day. And that's how that worked. And we got people to respond to that because it meant a sale. If we gave it away, it meant a sale for them. So they were happy to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, they got a promotion out of it, too. I mean, on the biggest game show in TV history, I mean, to even be on it, too.
Right, right. Speaking of Golden Road, when you brought that up, that was always our premier prize game. And we sort of had, I sort of had fun with it because I would put motorhomes in it, which motorhomes would drive people crazy. When the doors open up and they saw a motorhome. And I realized when we had a motorhome on one time that was like $98,000. And I said to Bob, I said, that's the most expensive prize we ever had on a show. So, of course, Bob announces it. This is the most expensive prize we've ever had on a show. And I could see that Bob enjoyed that. So every year, or even sometimes every like 8 months, I'd get a prize that was just a little bit more than $99,000, maybe $101,000. And then Bob had the fun then of saying, this is the most expensive prize we've ever had on the show. Then the following year, I'd get a prize that was $102,000. And then he could say the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I always thought that adds so much to the show. Bob could get up there and say, this is the most expensive prize we've ever had on the show. And we always did that like once a year or twice a year. And you could only do it because you could only increase it by a little bit. Otherwise, you couldn't do it all the time.
Right, right.
Know? And you win that prize. Then we go all the way to the end of the Golden Road. And folks, you know that we always have something wonderful at the end of the Golden Road, don't we? And believe me, trust me, we are not going to let Devin down. We have something at the end of the Golden Road, Devin, that is more, than $80,000 in prize. $80,000 in prize. Look at it.
It's a new motorhome.
Look at that price, more than $80,000, just as I said, than a 7 and a 3. Now, is that third number, the 6, 5, 9, or 8, from this price tag? Tell me correctly, and you win it.
I'll go with the 9.
He's going with the 9. He's going with the 9. I haven't asked you, where do you live?
Sacramento.
You live in Sacramento?
Yes.
You lived in California all your life.
Yes. And I watch you all the time. I love you, Bob.
I love you too, Devin. And Devin, I got a kiss and I haven't even given you the hug. Yeah. Now, this sweet young man gave me a kiss. Make it a, what did you say, 9? You said 9. It's a 9.
Very, very smart marketing. Speaking with Roger Domkowitz, former producer of The Price is Right, spent 36 years working on The Price is Right, 24 of those years producing The Price is Right. And I know along with producing, you had a good hand in, we're talking about certain games. This was Golden Road, but you had a good hand in creating some of the pricing games as well, as much as recent as in the Drew Carey years now was the gas money before you left in 2008 that you basically came up with 18 pricing games. Am I right?
I think it's 17.
17.
But
which ones were there?
Why don't we make it 18?
Okay.
We'll make it
18, sure. Well, you're the 5 Daytime Emmy Award winner, so I think we'll make it even 20. No, but anyways, what were some of the games that you created on The Price is Right?
I did, let me see, It's in the Bag, Cover Up, That's Too Much, 10 Chances, Squeeze Play. I did... Pushover, balance game, check game, split decision, clearance game, and of course gas money and a few others I can't think
of.
Wow,
that's so a lot of them still in rotation and play to this day, not on retirement. So your games are still in play. Was there a certain game that either one you created or one that you haven't created that you enjoy the most?
Well, to tell you the truth, I still enjoy 10 Chances.
Yeah.
I enjoy It's in the Bag, which is fun. And I enjoy, it's a very simple, quick game, Pushover. I love Pushover. And those are like my 3 favorites.
Now, how did you come, or how did it come about in a production meeting, or that say, okay, we need to come up with a pricing game, or how did they get pitched, and what was the protocol on that when either yourself did it or another member of the team came across with coming up with an idea of a pricing game?
Well, yes, there were 2 periods there, and they were different ways of creating it. The first period was when Mark Goodson was alive, and Mark Goodson ran the company. And every 6 months or 8 months, now Mark Goodson had several shows on always, like Match Game at the same time, and Tattletales and Child's Play, and of course Price is Right. And every 8 months, we'd get a memo from Mark Goodson saying, "We're going to have a game meeting. Please submit your Price is Right pricing games, and we'll all gather on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, and we'll present them all." And that was the worst memo anybody ever got, because all of a sudden now we had to go home and think up games. And thinking up pricing games, I'll tell you, Joe, is not easy. It's not easy. And so we would go home and sweat it out, and then and worry, and oh my God, what am I going to do? What can I do? Something different. And then we would have that meeting. We would get up in front of the whole company and present our game. And there were like 30 or 40 games being presented. And then we would wait for Mark Goodson to like 3 or 4 of them. That's how it was done for many, many years. And then after Mark Goodson passed on, and Bob Barker sort of took over the whole game thing, and all we had to do was when we thought up a game, go to Bob and say, "Bob, I thought of a game. What do you think of this?" And then we would just show it to Bob himself. And then Bob would say, "Yeah, I like it. I don't like it." And that was how we did it in the later years.
Nice.
It was a little bit easier than this game. God, it was like, oh, no.
How was, because talking about Mark Goodson, Productions started up with, and he actually found Bob Barker from doing, I think, Double Dare when he hosted that, and actually from Bob Barker doing radio broadcasting actually out in L.A., and that's how they formed their relationship, and Bob Barker got the job for hosting. But like later on, and now, so, and I don't know, when did Fremantle Media become in play? Did Fremantle Media, when you were there, I don't know if you were still involved when they took over, but were they in any of the process after when Bob Barker was involved with the pricing games?
No, when Fremantle took over, when Mark Goodson Productions was sold, they were first sold to All American Television, then All American sold us to Fremantle. And when Fremantle took over, there was some kind of contract drawn up that basically said Fremantle had to leave us alone.
Okay.
That they couldn't come and dictate certain things that Bob didn't want to do. And they pretty much left us alone because they wanted Bob to renew his contract every year. And Bob was the type of person that if he wasn't happy, he'd say, well, I'm not going to do the show anymore. So they wanted, Bob was somebody that everybody wanted to keep happy.
Right.
And he was. He enjoyed doing Price. He enjoyed everything. He was never unhappy with anything.
What was it like to work with Bob Barker and Rod Rodney? And also, what made it, I mean, I probably know the answer, but what made it that made Bob so lovable with the people?
Well, it was Bob Barker is a gentleman. He's a classy gentleman from being an old school gentleman. He was always fair on the stage. He respected everybody. He took his job very seriously. He was very, very professional. But, you know, basically he was just a very nice person. He did very much keep to himself. When he was married to Dorothy Jo, they were inseparable. And he did not need to go to parties and socialize. He was not much of a socializer. There were many parties that we had to go to, like Christmas parties and things like that. And sometimes Bob would have me drive him there. We would drive together. And Bob and I were always the first ones to go because he wanted to get home.
Right.
I mean, he took his pictures with everybody. He greeted everybody. He was nice to everybody, and he wasn't insincere. He was sincere. When he would talk to anybody, he was sincere. But then he was done. He was done with the party, and he and I would go home. I'd drive him home, and I was glad, too, because I had enough of the party, too, usually.
Right.
So because he was very, very fair, he would... if there was problems on the stage, rumors would go around, oh, somebody doesn't like so-and-so, and there's a problem, the stagehand is fighting with somebody else, he would say, get those two people in here, I want to talk to them. And they would go into his dressing room, and he'd talk to them straight up and say, what's the problem, what's going on? He wouldn't beat around the bush, and he would try to resolve it. And most of the times, he did resolve the problem, whether it was compromising or basically just telling one person he was wrong. And that's why he got so much respect on our show. If there was a problem on our shows, a technical problem or anything like that, if something broke and Bob wanted it fixed as quickly as possible, they would fix it as quickly as possible, not because they were afraid of being fired. They fixed it as quickly as possible because they wanted to please Bob.
Right.
I mean, that's what a great crew we had there.
Brian is right, because that was all that was left there. So it is 19,520. Let's hope it's four. Is she a winner now? No. What is it? What is it?
Is anyone right there?
She had another chance. Give her the car anyway. Going to win if he can. One right. Still have 10 seconds. Now wait. Four are right. That was a mechanical mistake back here. They're all right. I was so disappointed they got that wrong number up there, and I thought he was not even 10 seconds. He couldn't. Isn't that what he had? Was 7 seconds. He'd never win. I wanted this boy to win, didn't you? Congratulations. Goodbye.
Now, talking about of malfunctions of games or whatever else, when the live-to-tape is happening, you've seen some of the games that end up being malfunctioned. And I can't remember which one it was, but I see Bob kicking the game to get it to work or other things and that stuff. But he was just a true
genuine guy, and not just say was, he still is. I mean, he's still with us. God bless him. But yeah, just he was just so funny naturally, and to get it going, and even too when the models when the I'm trying to remember when one of the fridges, and I forget which model is, and the door keeps on opening, and she's going back or whatever, and just the control that he had of that whole show and steering the ship when it was live to tape for us viewers to watch and to connect with us at home along with the studio audience is just perfection, I have to say. It was great, and that's what made the game show too, I think.
Right. And you know what? I talk to him every week, and he's 91 now.
I believe. Oh, God love him.
92. And he's, I'll tell you, his voice is clear, and he's just as funny as ever. I mean, he cracks me up sometimes I talk to him. And he's just as witty and smart and lucid as ever.
Nice.
So I just want everybody to know that. Bob does what he wants to do. If there was an incident where CBS would come down to our show and say, Bob, we want you to do these 25 promos for all the affiliates. And he'd look at them and he'd say, 25? No, I'll do 5. And of course, he'd be saying, oh, okay.
What are you going to say?
a classic incident. I'll tell you a classic story. This was when Frank Wayne was the executive producer of the show. And this was like maybe we were into our sixth or seventh, maybe even later. The years I don't remember anymore too much. But Frank Wayne was the executive producer, and there was a new game to be introduced on the show. I forget what new game. And it was going to be the fifth act, what we call the fifth act. It would be the second to the last game. And Bob saw the rundown in the studio, and he said, I don't want it in Act 5. I want it in Act 1 or Act 2. Hmm. And the executive producer said, no, it's going to be in Act 5. Now, it's important for Bob to have it in Act 1 or Act 2 because it's a new game, and he doesn't know how long it's going to run. So if it runs long, he can make up the time. If it runs short, he can make up add time to the show. He didn't want it in Act 5 because if it ran long, there was no place for him to make up time. So he said, I want it in Act 1 or Act 2. But the executive producer, Frank Wayne, said, no, it's going to be in Act 5. You know, he was the boss. Bob said, I remember that. I was standing right there. He takes the paper, tosses it on the ground, and says, well, I'm not doing the show today. And he walks into his dressing room. And I'm standing there thinking, oh, my God. And I tell you, it was a big deal. We delayed taping. High people from CBS came down to talk to him. I think Mark Goodson got on the telephone. And I guess he explained it all to them. I don't know. I wasn't in the dressing room when he was talking to all these people. It was then changed to Act 1.
Wow.
And that was the first time I ever understood the power that a host has, because hosts do get eventually all the power in a game show.
Yeah, and
that was the first time I saw it. Yes.
Wow, and he wasn't doing it to be a bugger, to say a nice word, but he knew the reasoning behind it and how he wanted to do it, and that is just amazing. And along with The Price is Right, you were also, I want to just veer off The Price is Right for a second here on our second annual salute to game shows. You were also involved in Family Feud with Richard Dawson, Double Dare, Now You See It, and Match Game. And if you actually YouTube Match Game, Roger Dabowitz, you see a very young Roger Dabowitz being frisked by Richard Dawson on the Match Game. At the very intro, when Gene Rayburn comes out, and I guess you were a PA at that time, production assistant.
I was the cue card guy in that show.
Okay,
and yes.
So what was going on in your mind? Like, were you trying to get off the stage before the lights, camera, action came, or what happened?
He grabbed me. looking back, I can see now the celebrities had kind of a fondness for me because I was a young man doing cue cards and pretty quiet over there. I wasn't obnoxious any. So they had an apparent fondness for me. And Richard grabs me, and they know that when you're on camera, you get paid
$62.
whatever it was at that time. And so they did that. They enjoyed doing it. So he grabs me. But I knew my place was not to be on camera because, you know, that's not my place to be. So I try to get off of stage. But then, you know, there's a little bit of a ham in me. So I really didn't try that hard. I wanted to be on camera. And so, yes, I remember that. That was fun.
I got to say, game shows back in the day, and I'm guessing Match Game was the same way, live to tape. The realness, the rawness, the emotion of it all right then and live to tape is just so genuine, as opposed, not to knock game shows today, but you got the realness back then as opposed to today's game shows. And I'm so happy that you were a huge part, and I know you are probably very happy too, being a huge part of The Price is Right in the game show world. And before we let you go, and we appreciate you spending some time with us, just a couple more questions to ask you. I know you've worked with Bob a long time, and when he announced his retirement, and they were going to be finding another host for The Price is Right, what was the thought in your head, and who did you possibly think could, I mean, no one could replace Bob Barker, but who did you maybe have in mind, someone that could take over the show?
All of us knew that day was coming someday, and we all knew nothing lasts forever. And when I got that phone call, which was on Halloween, I remember it was Halloween 2006. It was Halloween Day 2006, and he said that, and all of the host staff just couldn't believe it. We had really no idea how who to pick. We went through a whole audition process. We auditioned a whole bunch of people. Eventually, a big one CBS was pushing. It was David Price, which used to be the weatherman in New York City on the CBS morning show.
Okay.
They pushed him a lot. And in retrospect, looking back, and even at that time, I thought he was pretty good. Nobody else thought he was that good, but they were all comparing him to Bob Barker. But I thought he was very good. We did Mario Lopez. We did...
Did Rosie O'Donnell ever try out?
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell wanted to do the show. We heard Rosie O'Donnell wanted to do the show, and we all freaked out because we, of course, have all heard the tales backstage with Rosie O'Donnell since we're in the business. We heard all the horror stories.
Right.
And we thought, we don't want to work. Oh, no, no, no. And then when CBS sort of leaked it, they were thinking about Rosie O'Donnell. Apparently, CBS got so much hate mail. They got more hate mail than with any other announcement.
Wow. Everybody said,
don't you dare put Rosie O'Donnell on. But however, Fremantle still considered it. And I went up to one of the executives at Fremantle, and I said, you can't put Rosie O'Donnell on the show. And he said, well, it would create quite a big bit of noise and everything and get a lot of PR for the show. But I said, people don't like her. Apparently she wanted to change the show. She wanted to cut the games down to three per show.
Oh.
And to add, she wanted to add musical elements to the show.
Oh my God.
How
gosh.
That would have happened, I don't know, but this is what was said at Fremantle.
Right.
Finally, CBS just said no to the whole deal, and Rosie O'Donnell was out of consideration. But that was horrible that time. We tried other people out, and I'm going to tell you right now, because this was the person that should have been made a host of Price is Right. We were doing auditions in a small studio at a different building outside of CBS, and we just saw people. We would see four or five people a day in the small studio over and over again. They would try, they would play It's in the Bag, they would play it twice. And then we would sort of say, oh, thank you very much, we'll let you know. And there were like six of us there. There were three stand-ins. There was me, my assistant, and a talent person from Fremantle. And one day, that I won't tell you the name yet.
No, no.
One day, this person walked in, and he did It's in the Bag. He did it twice, and he left. And all of us looked at each other. We didn't say a word, And we all thought, and we said it then, I think we found the host of The Price is Right. Because this person did the game, he did it fun, he did each game separately, differently, which you have to do a little bit differently each time. And he had fun with the contestant. It was wonderful. That was Mark L. Wahlberg.
Come on!
He's hosted many things. He was the best by far. And when we went back to CBS to tell them that this is a person, CBS in all their glory and everything, said, no, I don't know. We really don't like Mark L. Wahlberg. Even, they didn't see him. We saw him.
Yeah.
But they just didn't like him, I guess, his name or maybe how he looked or whatever. They said, no. So instead, they hire somebody completely without an audition. Drew Carey.
Oh, jeez.
I am sorry. You don't hire anybody without an audition. And you get what you get then.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm talking about that, too. And not, of course, you didn't audition, you said, for The Price is Right. But I was wondering when, at that time, when Bob Barker announced his retirement, Drew Carey just finished taping Whose Line Is It Anyways? And he did that Power to 10 show on CBS.
So I'm
wondering if that was kind of seeing CBS was watching him then to scope him out. Because I was wondering at that time.
I am sure they saw him on Power of 10. And on Power of 10, he was fine.
Yeah, but...
But Power of 10 is a totally different type of show.
Oh, absolutely.
And The Price is Right. And these people at CBS somehow, I don't know what went through their mind. I mean, to pay somebody that much money and this person refuses to do an audition,
yeah,
is something is screwy there. I'm sorry, it's screwy. You're paying me whatever it is, I don't know, $5-10 million a year, and no, I don't want to do an audition. You know what? Wait a minute!
How does that even work in this industry?
I know.
Jeez.
You know, and then when I start working with him for the year, everybody sees the problems with him. I mean, CBS came down on me. They said they would say, "Roger, blah 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 blah," with him, and then Fremantle would come to me and say, "Roger, can't you do this with him?" And I said, "Well, I'll do my best. I'll talk to him and try to help him," and blah blah blah, and they began to all see the problem. I mean, for the first 2 years of the show, Fremantle wanted to replace him, and CBS said no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you let go from Price is Right, or did you leave voluntarily, like retire voluntarily?
I was let go. It's one of those things. It happens all the time in show business.
Right.
It's when the network or producers higher up in the news say, you know, we want to take the show in a different direction.
Mm.
And it happens all the time. And my time had come. They wanted to, I guess, they felt the show had to be ramped up a little bit. I guess that's what it was. You know, I was, maybe they felt I was too much of a stickler for the classic way of doing Price is Right.
Right.
Which I was, to a certain extent. I did want to make some changes, but nothing radical or drastic to the show.
Do you still watch the show?
Oh, you know what? I used to watch the show. But when I began to get reports from backstage that they were redoing everything, not everything, but redoing come on downs and redoing reaction shots, and, then I realized this show isn't real anymore.
Right.
I couldn't watch. It broke my heart, to tell you the truth, when I found that out. When I found out they were redoing come on downs, when they had, at the end of the show, they would have two or three people go back in the audience. They'd say, okay, now let's redo your coming on down. And I thought, I can't watch this show anymore. It broke my heart that the show was no longer real. So I can't watch it. I can't watch it anymore.
No, and that's for good reason right there. And Roger Domkowitz, a huge history part of The Price is Right and the game show world. And you can still watch The Price is Right, though, on CBS, on daytime TV. Just check your local listings there to give them a plug. But Roger...
I want everybody to watch Price is Right forever, because as long as Price is Right is on, people will know who I am.
Yeah, well, there you go. And they know your games, too. And I want to thank you very much, because for myself personally, been doing the Joe Show for 9 years. Last year when the producer came to me and said, Joe, we want to do a salute to game shows because we know how much you love game shows. And last year we had Wink Martindale and Monty Hall and Bob Eubanks on as guests for hosts. And then we figured, okay, what are we going to do this year? And I'm like, let's do the behind the scenes, because we did kind of in front of the scenes with the host. And then it kind of just turned into The Price is Right itself, and one of my favorite game shows, to say the least, that I was just so excited, as if I was just interviewing Bob Barker, that I was able to interview you and talk about The Price is Right, one of my favorite game shows. So thank you very much, and my listeners truly enjoy it as well.
Oh, very good. I enjoyed. Good thing you're cutting me off now, because I love talking about The Price is Right, and I could bend your ear for hours.
Oh,
so,
I
good thing you're cutting me off.
Oh, no problem. I bet. Well, you know what? You're more than welcome. I know you're a very busy man with your family and enjoying life, but I would love to connect with you again and talk more moments of The Price is Right back in the day and how things were and funny moments and stuff like that. But maybe later down in the year or even next year, we have our third annual salute, if you're more than willing to do that.
I would love to.
All right. Awesome.
As long as you find me interesting.
Oh.
If you don't find me interesting, don't worry, my feelings aren't hurt.
No, you're definitely most interesting, that's for sure. And I greatly appreciate it. Again, this is our salute to game shows, our second anniversary here on the Joe Show. We'll be back with announcer Randy West here on the Joe Show.
Here it comes from the Bob Barker Studio at CBS in Hollywood. Television's most exciting hour of fantastic prizes. The fabulous 60-minute price is right.
Welcome back to the Joe Show on Ohm Times Radio, and I'm so excited because, yes, we are celebrating our second anniversary of the salute to game shows. And, well, he's basically a huge game show enthusiast, announcer, audience warm-upper, and also you can see him on TV. RandyWest.com is his website. The one and only Mr. Randy West. Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, Joe, it's great to talk with you at long last, and to make it into the second year of your, you know, game show salute means you're not scraping the bottom of the barrel yet. So I'm very honored.
Oh, good. I'm glad. No, we're not, definitely not. And I happen to come across you. I've had last year Todd Newton on as a game show, as a game show host, salute. And you've actually worked with Todd doing.
Todd and I did 2,000 plus performances of the Price is Right live stage show.
Yeah.
And we, before that, did 160, 130, something like that, episodes of Hollywood Showdown.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. And the Price is Right stage show, so people who don't know what that is, it started out in Las Vegas, and then it toured basically, I'd say, North America, because you guys came up to Canada, too. Were you part of that when you came to Canada?
Yes. We played Windsor. We played Toronto. Oh, I loved Toronto, but I guess everybody says that. Yeah. We had a lot of fun up there. And, you know, the contestants, the folks who come to the show and participate and play the games, in Canada, it's a much kinder, friendlier, better sporting kind of people, at least the ones that I met. They're more into having fun, and when they lose, they don't want to meet you in the back alley and hit you over the head.
Well, that's good to know that. I'm glad we got that kind of reference going for us then. And so let's start with, how did you get into liking game shows? Because you were on 9 game shows. You were on, like, Press Your Luck, which was the biggest one, which we'll talk about in a little bit. What's My Line? To Tell the Truth? On so many other ones. But what got you into game shows? Your parents like game shows or what?
No, we enjoyed television. I enjoyed everything about broadcast, radio and television. And I think if you had to analyze it, it's because it's a happy place. You know, no matter what's going on in your life, if you're tuning into a game show or, you know, any kind of entertainment program, folks are having fun. And what a great escape that is. Then I was driven to the idea of, let's see how this all comes together. And the thrill of living in New York is that so much production was going on there at the time. And I went down to 30 Rock NBC headquarters and watched them tape shows. Well, the first time I did that, I was smitten. I mean, it was an unbelievable experience for me. I enjoyed every aspect of it and then spent the rest of my life trying to get in behind the closed doors.
and you did. I mean, these game shows that you hosted or you also announced Supermarket Sweep, The Price is Right. You would fill in when Ron Roddy couldn't. You did some of the $1 million spectaculars of The Price is Right. Yeah. Hollywood Showdown, like you said, Trivial Pursuit. And then, of course, the resume goes on with audience warming up with, like, Deal or No Deal. And also you did with Carney Wilson the Newlywed Game. So, I mean, it's just you've done it all. Like, people are like...
I've been very blessed. When I think back at how did I ever have the gumption or the wherewithal or the couillons, as they say, to insist that I need to work in this field. You know, I had no relatives in it. I got no leg up. And I just can't believe how assertive I must have been wanting it with such a passion. And now, as you reread my resume to me, it makes you feel like I've died because it's quite a lovely list.
Well, no, I'm glad you haven't died, and I'm glad you're still with us. And we're speaking with Randy West on our second annual salute to game shows. And Randy, like I said earlier, an announcer of a multitude of game shows, also contestant on many game shows. Oh no, that sound means we are out of time, and so we will have to continue talking with game show announcer Randy West next week. Our special thanks to Roger Dobkowitz, and joining us next week on the Joe Show Game Show Salute, Price is Right. Hey, thanks for listening to our best of the best of season 9 of the Joe Show. We hope you continue to have a great summer, a safe summer. And please listen every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, and we will offer each week the best of the best of good interviews, good times, good fun of our season 9 that we had here on the Joe Show, preparing for season 10 that will be happening in October. Hey, you want to follow where I am? Just go to my website, Joe Crawford Live. com. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Crawford Live. Also like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Joe Show Live. Remember, hope you have a great summer and don't be ordinary, be extraordinary.